Doesn't work. Oh, there we go. All right. I think this shocks you if you go too long. Is that on the setting? Okay, you got it there. Okay. I see the trapdoor here too, but it's good to be here in nice and warm Queensland, and so very cold down at Port right now and rain and everything. I like all the blue shirts that are being represented here this morning. I don't know if that was on purpose. We've got burgundy here, but not alluding to anything at the moment, but I don't know if you guys were over at my house last year, and hopefully there's a repeat of that. But anyway, it's I talked to Brother Pete about Friday's game, so it's a little. Is that too soon? Am I going too far? I'm so sorry. It's an honor and privilege to be here, and kind of brings me back when we're in Michigan. We had a young adults Sunday school class, and that was lots of fun. Usually it was like 30 minutes of fellowship and then like 10 minutes of preaching, and then we left. And so, but I was told I gotta go 45 minutes or more, at least 45 minutes or something. And so it's all right if you guys look at your watch, but when you start shaking it, it gets really offensive. So don't do that. Unless it's one of those automatic watches that you've got to, you know, it's running out of, you know, anyway. Enough of that. Thank you very much again for having us. Just a little bit, just a small testimony if you guys don't know who I am. This is my wife, Mindy, and we are technically she's the missionary because I'm just coming back home to Australia. I grew up in southwest Sydney. Go Tigers. I don't know if that's something to be proud of, but grew up in southwest Sydney. And then actually went to college here in Brisbane for a year, and then went to America for college. Met my wife there, and she got me a job over at her church. And so I almost said I got stuck there, but I was privileged to work there at her church for 7 years. And then the Lord just kept impressing on my heart to come back to Australia, because it's just such a great need in Australia, wherever you go. In America, you get so comfortable and just seeing all the resources. I mean, if you don't like this school, just go to the one down the road. That's just as good. Or you don't like this church. You know, there's just so many. Spiritual scene there is just amazing. But the Lord just kept impressing on my heart of the spiritual need here in Australia. And so the Lord called us. I surrendered. I said, Lord, you know, I need to go back. And so we went on deputation for a few years, and then here we are, almost 3 years back in Australia, and it's been great. And so the Lord impressed on my heart to start a church at Port Macquarie, and got one fella there just preaching there this morning, and it's doing great. We got about 4 regular families and then some individuals that come and go, and so it's fun. And I was sitting on the river there, you know, when we were just trying to decide, just sitting on the river and watching the sun rise from there. I was like, yeah, I think the Lord's calling me here. And no, it's a very beautiful place, but it's lacking a good Bible church. And so praise the Lord that the Lord has called us there. And it's good to be here now this morning. And so if you would, please turn to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. Brother Pete, could I get a glass of water or something? Mouth's really dry, and I promised Asher that I'd spit on him while I taught, and so.
That's from God,
right? Amen, amen. Unholy water. He's enjoying marriage, he says, and so I believe him. Marriage is great. I love being married, for the record, and so I wouldn't have it any other way. And so praise the Lord for that. Romans chapter, we'll start at Romans chapter 1, and we'll go through a few verses, and I'll try not to be long. What time do we usually finish for the Holy Bunny?
You've got pretty much until 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I can still talk a little bit. Okay, all right.
All right.
uh, Anytime. All right. I'm going to try to make out a message from this napkin. We're going to look at Romans. This was a message that was really helpful to me as a young adult. And I hope it helps you. And I know it's, you look at me and you think this guy's 16 years old. I'm not, I'm more than 16, I'm 17. I'm 40 years old now. And I know I got some white hairs growing down here. And so the reason why I have this is so people don't think I'm 16. And so, and then I dyed a few white hairs there just to finish the ensemble there. But this really helped me. And it's not, this message isn't original to me, but it really helped me. And I hope it helps you this morning. And I know we sit in churches where a lot of young adults feel like, what am I doing here? Am I even worthy to be here? Do I even deserve to be here? What do I even fit, or do I even belong in church? And, you know, growing up at the church in Michigan, we saw a lot of teenagers go through school, and, you know, they were on the soul winning bus, they were on the bus ministry, they were in all these sorts of ministries, they were involved in the athletics program. I mean, they had everything going for them, and then suddenly when they became teenagers, suddenly when they became adults and then school was over, they sort of dropped off the scene. And I'm really encouraged to see the amount of young adults that we have here this morning. And this doesn't happen everywhere. I mean, the typical is that once they finish high school, they're just sort of MIA, missing in action. And church is no longer a thing for them. Thanks, brother. And got some ammo, Brother Asher. And I want to break that trend, because the Lord's work, as you can see, we're turning out less and less people for the ministry. And I'm not saying everyone ought to be a pastor. I'm not saying everyone ought to be a missionary or everyone ought to be in full-time ministry. But I believe every single person should be involved in the church in some way. In some way, it could be in a small way or a big way. But I believe everyone needs to be involved in the church, and we're seeing less and less of that in our churches today. And so, but I want to talk about maybe this perhaps may be the reason why we lose people to the world, and why we lose people and they're no longer in church. And so I want to talk to you this morning. You might be like, oh, it's cliche, another one of those sermons. But I want to talk about this thing about God's will. So, oh, God's will, here we go. But I want you to listen, because it's not going to be your typical God's will sermon, okay? I'm not going to tell you what you're, okay, Aaron, you're going to be a pastor, okay? I'm not one of those that tells people what God's will is for their life, what God wants for their life, okay? And I'm going to explain that a little bit here this morning, okay? So let's go to Lord in prayer real quick, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house. Father, what a privilege it is to come to church, and there are many other countries that don't get that privilege. They don't even get the privilege to open up the Word of God, and we get to do that. And I pray, Lord, that we would not take this for granted. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to listen, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you would illuminate our hearts and minds, and I pray, Lord, that this wouldn't just be a bunch of information, but it would be information, but for transformation. And Lord, I pray that our lives would be better for it. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to instill the truths that we're going to hear this morning. Lord, I pray that you would fill me with thy Spirit. I pray that you'd just use me as a mouthpiece. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me a clarity of mind. And Lord, I pray that you just be with us in this next few moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the book of Romans this morning. And the book of Romans was written to churches or believers in where? In Rome, okay? And good job. And Rome wasn't the best place to raise your kids or to even be in. And we've been in, you know, we were traveling for 3 years on deputation, and we've been to some places where like, let's not go there. There was one time where we were traveling through Las Vegas. I don't know if you've ever heard of that place, but I remember going through there during the day, okay? And I thought, this is not a place that I want to raise my kids. Now, of course, you know, the city of Las Vegas is not the same with the suburban area around it. But anyway, it would be one of those places where you thought, man, this place is wicked. This place is a place I wouldn't want my kids to grow up in, it, even with a blindfold. It's a very wicked place. And Rome was a very wicked place. And when Paul was writing this, he knew that. He knew that this was a place that if you were to live in it, if you were to grow up in it, you would perhaps start conforming to the way of life there in Rome. If you would read with me here in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." You know, when you read letters that Paul writes, obviously he's writing to talk about the issues that are going on either in that church or in that culture. And as we read through some of the verses here, it's evident that what's going on in Rome, or the churches in Rome. And here he's talking about ungodliness and the things that unrighteousness of men. Continue on, verse 19. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Look at verse 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened." Verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness, uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And there are some things there listed of things of unrighteousness, ungodliness. And that word reprobate, when you think of a reprobate mind, that is somebody who just doesn't want anything to do with God. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to know about God. This week, we're out door knocking on Wednesday, and door after door, you would introduce yourself. "Hi, my name's Gary. I'm from a local Baptist church here nearby." What do they usually say? Not interested. Don't want to hear about it. And door after door, I could probably count about 5 doors in a row where somebody said, don't want to hear about it. Don't want anything to do with it. And people that we've met that say that they're atheists. And I talk to them, I say, "Oh, okay, when did you start becoming an atheist?" Because usually there's a point, right, where they did believe in God, they did believe in a creator or a designer, but something happened in their life. They said, don't want anything to do with God. And that's a reprobate mind. That's a mind that says, you know what, I have nothing, I don't want anything to do with any shape or fashion about God, okay? And their mind has drifted off to ungodliness and unrighteousness. And when their mind drifts off that way, guess what follows? The body. The body follows where the mind goes. And when our mind wanders to a state of ungodliness, then our body starts behaving that way. Okay. Paul knew this. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We all still awake. Amen. All right, good. Let me get some ammo here. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 15. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not..." Now listen to this verse. Pay attention to this. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." We can either go one way or the other. When we follow the unrighteousness and ungodliness which started in the mind and our body followed, then we become servants of sin. But if we have a mind of God and mind of righteousness, then we become servants of obedience. So we either become a servant of sin or a servant of obedience, okay? And which kind of leads us to that tongue twister in Romans chapter 7. You all know what I'm talking about? The struggle that Paul had, and he explains this in chapter 7 of Romans, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I have not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet, but sin taking occasion. And it continues on. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And then continue on. And in verse 24, this is what he says about himself. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the what? The body of this death." The body. You know, in our lives, in our Christian lives, we have that struggle, don't we? Where the Spirit says, we ought to be doing this. I know what I should do. I know what, my conscience says this. The Word of God says this. And I know I should do it, but I find myself not doing it. And that which I know I shouldn't do, I find myself doing that. And there's a struggle. But it's the body that is causing this to happen. And Paul here, he says, man, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? I want this to end. I just want to continue doing that which was right, which is right. And our body is going to go to where the mind has been, whether it be for days, weeks, months, or years. And so it is very important what our mind is up to, what our mind is thinking. You know, our bodies are the temple of God. And it's God's temple. God doesn't dwell in houses or tabernacles, but he dwells in us. And it's very important what our body does. And let's see. But you know what? The good thing is that you're here in church this morning, and you're not in a pub somewhere, or you're not at some rave party or whatever. And that's a good thing, because now your body is here, your mind is going to absorb the things that you ought to. And when your mind absorbs the things that you ought to, then your body's going to follow suit. Your body's going to do that which it ought to. Okay. Little confusing right now, but let me make some sense in that, okay? It was a very important thing for Paul, okay, when he talked to the Romans about this. Because where they went and what they did with their bodies was going to determine what they would do for the Lord, right? Okay? And it was a very, very important thing for him. And that's where we get Romans 10, a very, very familiar verses. We know Romans 10:13 from when we're out souling, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says in verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, Paul was seeing a trend that was happening, and he saw that there was less and less people preaching the gospel, doing what God wanted them to do, okay? He says, how are people going to get saved if they don't have a preacher, okay? Why don't we have preachers? It's because we don't have people who have a mind of God, who have a mind that is given to a reprobate mind, who says, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want any, I just don't want to do it. Okay, and Paul saw that if we were ever going to get something done for the cause of Christ, then we're going to have to do something about it. Okay? Something's got to change. Something's got to happen drastically. Otherwise, we won't get the gospel out. We won't get God's work out. We won't be able to achieve what we want to achieve for the cause of Christ. You know, we've seen it time and time again. You probably, if I ask you, hey, do you know of anyone who used to go to church, who's no longer in church? Do you know people who went through the Christian school? Man, they were doing so great, and where are they now? You know, I've got so many friends, and you know, you guys don't believe that, but I did have many friends, and a lot of them aren't in church today. I've got some that were friends from Bible college, and they're now professing atheists. And I thought, him? He was on fire. I mean, he was a bus driver. He was on the bus route. Man, he was in the amen section. You know, the annoying people in Bible college, you know, the ones that jump on the seats and shout amen and wave. And I've never gotten to twirl my Bible on my finger. Anyone know how to do that? Anyone? I don't know how you do that. There's some people who could do that. I couldn't do that. I was one of those annoying people down there. And then suddenly I started dating and, you know, I had to be cool, you know. But I thought to myself, what happened? Why aren't they in church anymore? And I look at the lives of so many people who have gone before me who I thought, man, they're going to make it. They're going to do something great for God. Who I look at their life and think, man, I don't want to be there. I don't want to go down that same route that they took. I don't want to go down. I don't want to end up in a pub somewhere drunkard. I don't want to end up being some politician on the ground drunk, right? You guys, some of you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to be somebody. I don't want to be cursing like a sailor. I don't want to be committing adultery and all ungodliness and filthiness and to a point where I say, you know, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want to step foot in church. I don't want to even talk to a Christian. I don't want anything to do with God, and we all have that goal. I believe you're here in church, and you're thinking, you know, I'm in church because I want to glorify God in what I do. I want to glorify God by learning what the Bible says. I want to glorify God in serving Him. I want to glorify God in whatever capacity I can be. And I believe people, you're all here this morning because you want to serve God. You want to glorify God. You don't want to be in a place where one Sunday you're going to be found in some pub somewhere. You don't want to be at a place where, you know, you're walking down and in a place that you shouldn't be, and somebody walks by and says, "Oh, Asher, what are you doing there?" You know, we don't want to pick on him because it's just so easy. But we don't want to be in that place, right? And we don't want to end up in that place. Well, how do I not end up in that place? And I feel so much for many of my friends who've now said, you know, I don't want anything to do with God. Don't even talk to me about God. I don't think you're going to win me over back to church or to God. I don't want to get to that point. And I don't think anyone here wants to get to that point. But, you know, the reality is there are a lot of young people, you know, I was going to say our age, but your age, that are sitting in church thinking, what am I even doing here? Do I even deserve it? Am I even worthy to be here? Am I a fish out of water? Am I just a sore thumb? You know the thing. Do I just not belong here? And many of us, and I've been there, I thought to myself, I look at another man, I think, man, that guy's memorized the whole Bible pretty much. Man, that guy's gone up in Christian school. He was saved at 3 years old, right? You know, already surrendered to preach at four. And I thought, man, what am I doing here? You know, I come into church at 14 years old, hair down to my shoulders, you know, and listening to God knows what. And you know, I walk into church thinking, what am I doing here? Do I even belong? Am I even worthy to be here? Okay. And I want to turn now to Romans chapter 12 and a very, very familiar passage of verses that you're very familiar with because everyone's preached on this about the will of God, right? When you talk about, oh, let's talk about the will of God, let's go to Romans 12, and you're like, oh, here we go, Romans 12, all right. But I want to look at it, and this may be something you haven't heard before, and if you have heard before, maybe perhaps this is just a review. But I want us to look here in Romans chapter 12. Verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. This word beseech, we all know, it's not just a, hey, Brother Pete, can I just get a bottle of water? Can I, Aaron, can you close the door for me, okay? Can you do this and that? It's not just that. The word beseech here is a begging, something that is very urgent that you want it's a begging. It's a hungry person begging for food. It's a homeless person begging for money. Somebody who's begging for help. It's the lame man begging for somebody to take him into the pool and to be healed. It's the blind man who is begging to be healed from his blindness. Okay, it's the lady who just wants to touch the hem of Jesus. That's the kind of begging that this is talking about here. And Paul is saying, I'm begging you guys. This is very, very important. I'm not just asking you, church, brethren, here in Rome, I'm really begging you. I want you guys to listen. This is something very, very important. And if we don't get this, then our lives are just going to be another waste. It's just going to go by the wayside. And we're just going to be another statistic. Another Christian who used to be and is no longer and is now even an atheist and who is now saying, I don't want anything to do with God at all, and who has a reprobate mind. He says, I want you to listen. I want you to get this, because if you get this, maybe we've got some hope. Maybe we can get to the root of the matter. And he says, I'm begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, I want you to present your what? Your bodies. And our bodies is what's doing the service towards God. And without our bodies, then we're not serving God. We're not winning people to Christ. We're not baptizing. We're not teaching people the Word of God. We're not teaching young kids about God or the Bible. We're not doing, without our body, we're not doing those things. Our body is very important. But remember, our body's going to go where our mind leads us. And it's very, very important that we get this figured out, okay? Otherwise, our body is not going to stay here any longer. Otherwise, our body's not going to be in church, okay, in the next 5 years or 10 years or 15 or 20 years, until we get this figured out. And if we don't get this figured out, okay, then I don't know how much hope we have. You know, we've got many young people in church, and we're forced. Man, my pastor wants me to do this. Brother Pete wants me to do this. Brother Holowaddy wants me to do this. And when we're forced, right, I don't know why I'm doing it, but I'm just doing it because everyone else is doing it, okay? Everyone else is doing the thing, and so I go, I just follow everyone. But you know what? That's not going to cut it in the long run. We've got to get this figured out. So what does Paul say? Because Paul knows where this leads to, okay? And so what does he say in verse 2? It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's renewing? Something, you know, when you renew your insurance, it comes alive again, right? It's a new thing again, right? When you get a haircut, and I know I need a haircut. If you see my son, tell him he needs a haircut, okay? He's the one with the bushy hair. But man, when I cut my hair, man, I feel like a new man, okay? I feel renewed, okay? When I polish my shoes, when I polish my shoes, it feels like I'm wearing new shoes, right? You know what renew means, okay? And God says, our mind may be drifting off. You're living in Rome. You're living in a very wicked place. Don't we live in a wicked place? Oh, if we knew even just a fraction of what's going out there in the world, we would be shocked. And the internet sometimes shows us the wickedness of our world. It shows us that our world is really depraved, going to the days of Noah. Man, that's exciting, but very scary at the same time. Maybe perhaps the Lord would come anytime soon. But man, our world is very, very wicked. And the years that I've lived, here I am. I feel like an old man now saying it. Man, just looking at what our world is today compared to what it was. And I'm not even saying when I was a kid, okay, a couple days ago, it wasn't as bad as it was today. But man, we're living in a very, very, very wicked world. And Paul says, man, I know what this world and the influence that this world has on us as we, and even more so now with the internet, with a computer, with TV and everything, okay, I know the influence. I know what it does to our mind. And if we don't transform it, and we don't renew it, then there's no hope for the cause of Christ. There's no hope. We're not passing on the baton, the baton. We're not passing on a legacy to our kids. We might as well quit right here. He says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, now that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is where I want to dwell in. You say, well, we haven't gotten to the meat of the... No, we haven't, okay? We've got another 45 minutes. You know, we get a hang up here, and we've heard probably perhaps many messages on the will of God. This is how I've heard it through the years, that the will of God is a blueprint, a master plan of God, that we are to somehow follow to the T. God has a perfect path for us and a master plan that if we don't follow this, then we're out of the perfect will of God. Who's ever heard that before? I've heard that before, okay? That God has a book. This is, all right, this is what we're, you know, Brother Brock, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be born from godly parents, and then you're going to be saved at the age of 3, surrendered to preach at the age of 4. Man, you've memorized one whole book of the Bible. Let's not go that far. Just one verse of the Bible, John 11:35. And man, you're going to go to a Christian school. You're going to go to the best Christian school. You're going to go through it. You're going to be straight A student, man. You're going to be a school captain. And then when you get to high school, man, you're going to be so influential, man. You're going to be a football player. You're not going to play for the Broncos because they're hopeless. But, man, you know, kidding. Oh, I'm kidding, guys. I know, I'm treading. Okay, I'm out of the perfect world. And man, you're going to go through high school. And then when you're done with high school, you're going to, man, you're going to be going to Bible college. You're going to be a preacher. And when you become a preacher, you're going to meet your wife there. She's going to be perfect. You're going to know who she is, okay? You're going to walk through the hallways. You're going to see her glowing and her eyes just glowing, right, riding on a white horse. And you're going to be like, man, she's the one. And you're going to marry her and you're going to have such and such kids and you're going to pass to this church and then you're just going to be the greatest person in the world, right? We think that's the perfect will of God. It's like God, we think that it's like God wrote a book and we've got to somehow guess if we're in within that path. But there is no book called this is the life of Gary Tinkson. Step one, okay? Grow, okay? I missed it. I totally missed it on step number one. I forgot to grow. But you know, and we think that we have a book. That God has a book and a master plan and a blueprint that we've got to follow. And I've heard it preached this way, that if we miss God's perfect will, well, you know, you can always step down to God's acceptable will of God. You missed it over there, Asher. Had the right school for you to go to, but you just weren't, maybe you weren't in tune with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you just didn't know. You missed it. Or you skipped church one week and now you're out of the will of, you totally derailed the path. You totally derailed the plan that I had for you. You missed church. And you're no longer in the perfect will of God. And so I'll let you be an acceptable will of God. And then, if we don't meet this plan B of the acceptable will of God, then there's always the good will of God. You're good. You're okay. You didn't make it like so-and-so. You didn't become, you're second-class Christian or you're third-class Christian, and you're okay. We'll let you stay. We'll let you stay. We need the numbers. We'll let you stay, okay? And we have many young people, listen, we have many young people sitting in church thinking that way, that, man, I missed God's perfect will for my life. But you know what? I might as well sit in church and live out my acceptable will of God. You know, I'm not really even acceptable. You know, I do things that people don't approve of, but I'm good. I'm okay. I'll stay in church. And then suddenly, and many young people just fall into this cycle of depression, thinking, man, I totally missed the boat. I knew I should have went to Bible college. I knew I should have taken up this course. I knew I should have married so-and-so. You know, the bad thing about today is that we've got social media now. We've got, and the pressure that adults have to follow this imaginary perfect will of God, okay? I don't know, or maybe I guess I am. And the pressure's there, and when we start thinking that, and we fall, and we do something to think, man, I've derailed myself, I'm not in the perfect will of God, and then we start second guessing. We think, what happened in my life? Maybe I should have married so-and-so. And the tough thing is, we look at Facebook and think, oh, what's my ex doing today? Oh, they got beautiful kids. Should have been my kids. Oh, look at so-and-so. He went to that university that I was going to go. And he's so successful, man. He's got a boat. He's got a house. He's got a monster truck. He's got all these things, man. I'm like, man, that should have been my life. I totally missed the boat. And how does that make us feel? Makes us feel like, what am I doing here? I might as well just go out, live out my life and just enjoy my life because I'm no longer in God's will. We've been taught that, some of us, and we've been taught that God's will is a book, a blueprint that God has us to follow. But that's not what this is talking about. You see, this is not a geographical thing. God's will is not like, I want you to be in Port Macquarie. I want you to be in Brisbane. I want you to be in Africa. I want you to be here. It's not a position. I want you to be a pastor or a missionary or a layman or whatever. It's not those things. It's not those things at all. And we think, man, there's an imaginary thing and I've got to maybe perhaps answer a questionnaire somewhere that can tell me what God's perfect will is for my life. And we're chasing this dream that we think that God has this fairy tale. We're so Disney Christians, right? Oh, man, we know. Okay, what happened to Princess Fiona? Okay, did she marry that little guy was pretty, you know. Big things happen. Anyway, but man, she married Trek, right? But we thought, man, she missed it. She's not in the perfect will of God, right? It's not what it's talking about. It's not a position. It's not a place. This is what it is. Let's have a look at it, okay? You say you're not over. No, we're not over, okay? Romans chapter 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. I'm not at Romans chapter 12. Why? I'm sorry. Oh, you're still there? Well, good, because I'm not there, and so I totally missed the boat here. Romans chapter 12. So God says, Paul says we have to transform, okay? We need to be transformed by renewing our mind, okay? We've got to, whatever we're thinking, whether it be that scenario where we're thinking, man, there's a, you know, oh man, I missed, I didn't marry Prince Charming, I didn't marry so-and-so, I didn't go to so-and-so, I didn't do so-and-so, okay? I missed the boat, okay? If that's what your thinking is, Paul says you've got to transform it to this kind of thinking. This is the thinking right here. It says, by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove. That word prove there means to examine or to test or discern, to say by solidly, say this is it, okay? This is what I need to be thinking. He says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now the word will there is used in another two verses in the Bible, okay? Another two verses. Let's look at it, okay? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm hurrying here. Ephesians chapter 2. You all still with me? I'm losing ammo. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Am I in the right? I'm sorry, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the, this is the same word here, what was the word? Desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It's the same word, okay, as the word will there. Will, you know, it's like, if you will, you know, would you polish my shoes? Because I forgot this morning, okay? If this is something you desire. The other verse that it's in is Revelations chapter 4, verse 11. Turn with me in there. Revelations chapter 4, verse 11. Revelations 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy, this is the word, what? Pleasure they are and were created. You know the word will there? You know what it means? It means what God desires, or what is a pleasure, what is a pleasure to God. That's all it means. It's not a place or a position or something that we're striving for. It's simply this, what God wants us to do. That is God's will. What He wants, what pleasures Him for us to do, what He desires for us to do. And God says that if you, your mind is going to wander off to a place you don't want it to, so you need to renew your mind and stop the thinking of whatever it is. He says, I want you to renew your mind to this thought that you need to solidify and you need to establish in your mind what God wants you to do. God, what makes God happy? What gives Him pleasure that's what the will of God is. You know, this Bible doesn't tell me that I ought to be a pastor, okay? In fact, if you want to be a bishop, the Bible says if you, what? Desire the office of a bishop, okay? I wanted to become a pastor, okay? And so that will there, God is saying, you need to make up your mind that you know what God wants for your life. And these three verses, you know, we get hung up on that word perfect there. There's a perfect will of God. I've got to follow it. I've got to do it. But these three words, good, acceptable, and perfect, are adjectives. They're describing the desires that God has for our lives. That first one, good, simply means this, beneficial. Beneficial. It's going to be good for me. When I eat healthy food, it's good for me, okay, as long as, along with barbecue, pulled pork, and amen, and you guys know a good barbecue place around here, that's good for me, okay, as you can tell, it's beneficial for me, and we got to make up our mind and say, you know, what God wants for me is beneficial, is good, okay, And secondly, it says acceptable. It's just another word for agreeable. We've got to make up our mind that we agree with God, that what God wants is good for me. It is right. It is acceptable. And the last thing, perfect, simply means this: it completes me. Okay? A perfect man, you've heard the term perfect, like, you know, it means mature, whole. You know what an integer is? It's a whole number, right? That's where we get the word what? Integrity. Somebody who has integrity is a whole man, okay? And God says, you know, we've got to make up our mind that what God wants for us is going to make us whole, okay? Some of you looking at us, at me like, now I'm just confused, okay? All right. The devil wants, he has a will for us too, doesn't he? Or a desire. He wants us to do something. He wants us not to go to church. He doesn't want us reading the Bible. He wants us saying bad things, okay? He wants us being unkind to people. So the devil has desires for us too. Do you think those desires, same desires that the devil has for us, do you think they're good, they're beneficial? No. Do you think we would agree with some of the things that the devil does? Oh, yeah, that's not. Yeah, I agree with it. No. Do you think it's going to make us whole? Do you think at the end of the day, when we follow Satan, when we say, oh, that's pretty tempting. I think that's a good thing to do, right? I'm going to go walk into that place. I shouldn't be. That's going to make me a perfect man. That's going to make me a mature man. Do you think it's going to be that way, what Satan desires for us to do? Okay. Now, why do we do those things? Why do our flesh go towards those things and say, man, I wanna go get drunk. Man, I wanna do all these things because it's just, fill in the blank, it's just what? Okay. But we do those things. And God says here, and I'm pretty much done here. Oh, wait a minute, I've got another page here. No, I'm kidding. I won't go there. But, okay, this is what we need to do, okay. We don't want our mind going to the filth and ungodliness in the world and in the culture that we live in, okay? And we've got to renew it, okay? We can't help where we live. We live in a really, really wicked place. But if we get this thought in our mind that God's desires and God's will that is laid out in this Bible is good for me, and I agree with the things that are in here, and we know that it's going to make me whole, and I'm going to settle it and say, I'm going to follow God because I know it's going to be good for me. And I know it's going to be beneficial for me. I know it's going to make me whole. And if we settle that today and say, you know what? I'm just going to follow God because of that. Because I know it's good for me. I know that what God wants for me is just, that's it. It's going to make me whole. And when we get that thinking, that mind, when we renew our mind with that thought, guess what? Our bodies are just going to follow where our mind's going to take us. Our mind says, you know, I'm going to go to church because I know I'm going to hear from the Word of God. I know I'm going to go outreach because I know people are going to hear the gospel, read the gospel, whatever, and it's going to be beneficial. And I know what God wants for me. Sometimes I don't trust God. Sometimes I don't trust the preacher. But you know what? If we settle in our mind that it's good for us, I'm going to follow that. I'm going to follow it. You know, our kids, you know, sometimes they don't trust us. I don't know why they don't. Maybe perhaps some of the other times that we did untrusting things. But, you know, sometimes we don't trust our parents, right? Or when we were kids, they, oh, I don't know, Dad. You always say it's fun, and then when we get there, it's not fun. I don't trust you, Dad, okay? No, Dad, no, that broccoli does not look good, Mom. It doesn't look good. I don't trust you. Dad, I don't think I need a haircut. I'm going back to that because if you've seen my... I don't need a haircut. I want to, you know, whatever. You know, I didn't like getting, you know, before I got saved, let me tell you this, before I got saved, my hair was down to here, and I thought, man, this is my thing. People like this thing, right? I'm not going to cut this thing, but I got it cut, And I trusted my dad. I said, "Dad, all right, let's get it cut, whatever." And I did it blindfolded. No, I got my hair cut. And people were saying, "Man, that looks so good," and da-da-da-da, whatever, whatever. But now I'm a grown man. Oh, now that I'm a man, I look back and say, yeah, that was good. Because the Bible says that it is a shame for a man to have one. And this is just an example, okay? But now we know and we've settled it. You know, I'm just going to get my hair cut every day. Well, not every day, but every now and then, okay? You know, I know it's good. I know reading my Bible is good. So you know what? I settled it in my mind. I'm just going to read. I'm just going to read my Bible. I know church is good for me. I know I learn things that God desires, and how am I going to know God's will for my life if I don't read the Bible? How am I supposed to know what God wants for my life? And I know going to church is beneficial for me, so I'm just going to decide right now, make up in my mind that that's it. I'm going to church. Hey, there's going to be days where you're going to be like, I don't want to go to church. Maybe this morning. Perhaps some of you heard that I was preaching this morning, and so you're like, oh, I don't want to go to church. But if you've made up your mind that doing what God wants is good, acceptable, and perfect, then it's just going to transform your whole life. I don't need to go to those places. I don't need to follow the devil. He's just going to leave me on the side of the road one day. He's going to lead me in a path that I never thought that I would want to be in. So, what's God's will for your life? It's not the same thing that perhaps you're thinking, okay? I don't know what God wants you to be or where God wants you to be. But if you do this and each and every day you follow what God wants you to do, you're going to get to my old age, okay? Or Brother Pete's old age. But never. And you're going to look back and say, wow, that's a pretty good life. We did okay. And I end with this quote, you know, the man that walks with God, and the woman, I dare say, but the man that walks with God always reaches his destination. Sometimes we're too busy trying to figure out, Lord, what is this? It's like an adventure. Who's ever read those books? The adventure, turn to page, what, you know, if you make this decision, you got to turn to this page, and you're like, I don't know, Lord, what's your will, you know? And we're trying to decide, right? No, that's not what it is. God's already told us what he wants us to do in here. And if we do that each and every day, we'll reach our destination, wherever that is or whatever it is. So we don't have to worry about those things. God will open doors. God will close doors. Maybe you're in that stage. You're like, what am I doing here? I mean, literally, you're thinking right now, what am I still doing here? But you're thinking, what am I doing here in church? Why am I still following you? Lord, what is even, am I going to, I don't know. And there's so many uncertainties. But one thing that we are certain is that God wrote a book, many books, that God desires for us to do. God wants us to do because it pleases him. And that's all we have to worry about, is pleasing him. Okay? Everything else take care of itself. Amen? I hope that's helped. All right? Those of you still awake. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's been a long morning, but Lord, there's many uncertainties in our lives, and we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what path, who to listen to, what to do. But Lord, you've already written a book, a collection of book that tells us what your will is. And the things that give you pleasure, that pleases you, and that you desire for us to do are written in this book, and all we have to do is follow it, and you'll take care of the rest. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here this morning that sits in church thinking, I don't belong here. I've missed the boat. I didn't follow your will, quote unquote, to the T. Help them to know that that is not what this is talking about. We know the just man falls 7 times and rises up again, Lord. We all fall and sin. We all make mistakes. But Lord, help us just to get back up the next day, and because we know that your mercies are new every morning. And then we just start doing the things that pleases you. And then we'll get to our destination. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to transform our minds to this kind of thinking. And Lord, I pray that you'd use these young people, Lord, to do something mighty in your work. I don't know what it is, even if it isn't what the world would consider mighty. You know what it is that you'd want them to do. And I pray, Lord, that you'd just continue to guide their life each and every day as they follow you each and every day. And you'll show them one day the journey that they've gone through. And I pray, Lord, that you bless each and every one of us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the service. And we pray that it would give honor and glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.